Alrighty, Shabbat Shalom. And Shabbat Shalom to everybody who is with us. Let's pull up a chair and let's study the Word of Yahweh. So let us start in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before your throne and we thank you for another week of life. We thank you, Father, for all the blessings that you give us. We thank you for your Word and opening up our minds to your truth. We pray, Father, for world peace. We pray for those who suffer in this world. We pray for those who hunger. And we pray for those, Father, who hunger and thirst after righteousness. We pray, Father, that your Spirit would guide and lead this study. And we thank you for all you do. We thank you for the great sacrifice of sending your Son to pay the penalty of our sins. We thank you for the Shabbat that's beginning. And we give you all praise. In the name of Yeshua, we pray. Hallelujah. Okay, let us get into some world news and then we will finish tonight in Habakkuk chapter 3. Don't have a ton of things, but I do want to get into a few things because there are some big things happening. America again hit Iran this week. I'm not going to talk about that in articles, but I do want to talk about some of the other things happening. What I believe caused America to hit Iran more than anything else. The first article here says another major Russian refinery up in flames as diesel nears historic highs. And today, diesel hit the all-time high that it ever did. And like I've mentioned before, that it's not just the gas prices, but more important, the diesel, because everything depends on diesel prices, which are higher right now than gasoline prices, and they are at a record high. I think it was $5.86 per gallon, something like that. So, and the other thing is not just the Iran war. I mentioned this because of what's things happening here. These attacks that are coming now on Russian refineries and whatnot are causing a lot of these problems. The next article here says Iran looks to ramp up economic alliance with BRICS nations as war with U.S. drags on. So this is, I think, the bigger news. And I think this is the reason that America actually attacked Iran this week and it backfired in their face, because Iran now is making alliances with BRICS nations, the BRICS, which is with Brazil and India, Russia, China, and South Africa, and other nations that are joining them. I've mentioned this many times there. Planning on bringing out their own currency soon, but now Iran is also working with them. And this says Iran is set to join the BRICS in the New Development Bank, because remember, it wasn't that long ago that Russia was also sanctioned by America and stopped from the American banking system through the SWIFT system. So there is a whole new order, you know, of this global order that's happening and a change in policy. And one thing the Iran war has shown is none of these nations are fearing America anymore, and they really are not wanting anything to do with America's economic situation. You know, Babylon is starting to fall. The cracks are there, and it's a lot even what we're talking about in the backup. So that's a big development. And there's another one here. Major Shanghai summit of U.S. adversaries sends clear message. So this summit that happened this week, it's the SCO, the Shanghai Cooperation Organization, a group of Asian and Eurasian states, including with China, North Korea, India, Iran. And Iran was like the guest host that was there. Russia also part of this. And they actually gave Iran standing ovations. And they signed, and all of these countries signed an agreement. Because remember, America just came out a week or two ago and said, hey, the whole world is going to follow what America's saying. You're not going to do any trading with Iran. Blah, 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 blah. Iran is going to be totally cut off. Remember, President Trump, this is the most economic ever in the history of the world. And the nations are saying, we ain't following. We're not listening to you. You're not going to push and dictate to us. So now this SCO actually signed a, you know, official paper saying they do not agree with America's doing. They don't. They're not following it, and they are going to be trading with Iran. Here's another article. This from the SCO. The summit slams attacks, sanctions on Iran. Key takeaways from the summit that's there. And a lot of these big world leaders that were all there. Belarus, even, and many other places. They give all Kyrgyzstan. So I'm just going through this quickly, but I'll let you put this online probably this coming week where you could read it yourself. And it says, Iran has a 25-year pact with China that's advancing, and they tout the SCO as a platform for Global South, you know, for this to grow. So, you know, these countries, they have alliances. In the same way with President Trump pushing against Canada for whatever reason, don't ask me why, Canada, closest ally and friend of America, and they may not be a big military might, but they are an economic might, and they do have natural gas and minerals, precious minerals that are up there that are needed. And what did they do by trying to make all these tariffs and 500% tariffs? They pushed Canada right in the arms of China. And now Canada is making also. And who's America to tell these countries that they can't trade with each other? Who do they think they are? You know, Trump thinks he's like a school teacher and these kids are kindergarten people. But they're not following. They're not listening. They're not following. And he's getting nervous because America is really losing their power. He has done so much to hurt America in every way since he's been in there this time. And he's not even in there a year and a half. And let's see, because as the elections in America come up in November, and if they are as bad as they're saying, that, you know, the Republicans are going to lose big time. As soon as the Democrats get in January, they are going to start every investigation against Trump and his family, and it's just going to keep going on and on and on. So it was a bad move that Trump made. He had the Congress, he had the Senate, and he's done nothing with it in 2 years. And he's only threatened people and made some really bad moves. And the economy is not in good shape. It may look like it because they're touting everything with AI. When you take all those AI trades and companies out of there, the rest of the economy is faltering, and we will see. We will see what happens this fall, but it doesn't look good. Here it is again. U.S. diesel hits highest since April as war strains global supply. And remember, we're in the summer now because diesel is also used for heating, you know. So there a lot more fuel's got to be used when the fall comes for heating, for and a lot of other things. U.S. diesel hits 4-year high as war strains global supplies. Okay. And here, Roger Waters warns AI and social media are eroding human thought and emotion. So they've been doing a lot of studies recently now because they're saying that people that are using AI every day and using it for everything in the chat box, it's literally destroying the mind. It's literally making the mind where they're showing people's mind that don't use that to minds that do. And you look at the difference of the brain and the brain activity and the brain waves, they're completely different. So this article is on that. And there'll be a lot more coming on this stuff because literally that AI and social media are eroding human thought and emotion. And, you know, it happens little by little, but as time goes on, it's almost making these people unhuman. Just like we said with the COVID, you know, it literally changed the DNA of people, you know. So we will see. But that is all I am going to go over to tonight because we got a lot to go over here in the study. And we have the holy days coming next week. Will be Yom Teruah. And it will be the beginning of the holy day season. And right after that, Sukkot, which is the highlight of the year. And we're excited. We have the biggest group we're ever going to host in Jordan this year. So we're excited about that. We used to have, of course, bigger groups in Israel. But for Jordan, this is the biggest group that we're going to be hosting this year. And we got a lot planned, a lot of exciting things. And then the Bible school will be after that for the whole month of October into beginning of November. So We are getting ready and getting excited. And here we are, Habakkuk 3. So let's start here. Verse 1. It says, a prayer of Habakkuk the prophet concerning erring ones. So like we said, Habakkuk being a prophet, you know, minor prophet, not a lot known about him. We know he's a contemporary of Jeremiah. And so he's warning against the sinful nature of Judah at that time before they're getting ready to be taken over by Babylon. He's also warning because of He's also warning because of Babylon's sins and how Babylon corrupts other nations and how they were, you know, so heavy on other people and, you know, some of the judgment that's coming from Yahweh for that. And now this is his prayer because of this. So the note here, I'm going to read our note, says, Chapter 3 is a prophetic account given by Habakkuk showing the return to earth of Yeshua and the kingdom about to set up. Yahweh starts in verse 1 through 5 in Habakkuk 1. We went over this a couple weeks ago. And he says he will work a work in the end time that would be so great you almost couldn't believe it if he told it. And here he's given the fruition of that work with the return of the Messiah to the earth. So we see in chapter 1, it was prophesied about Yeshua's first coming. And we see that that scripture was even used in Acts 13. And now in chapter 3, it's going to be more or less the prophetic fulfillment of Yeshua's second coming. So first showing Yeshua's death and resurrection for the forgiveness of sin, and now about his return. Verse 2 says, Yahweh, I have heard your report. I am afraid. Yahweh, give new life to your work in the midst of years, right? What is the end time about? The restoration of the work of Yahweh, right? Going in all the earth. And this good news will be preached. It will be published, literally. You know, what is that? The New Testament, the Bible. And then the end will come. So he's saying, I've heard your report. I am afraid. Give new life to your work in the midst of years. In the midst of years, make known in anger, remember compassion. So Yahweh, we know in the end, he's very upset. His wrath is coming to the world because of sin and because of disobedience. And Habakkuk is asking him to remember compassion during this time. So the prayer is, again, for the end time work of Yahweh. Verse 3, Elohim comes from Teman, and the Holy One from Mount Paran. Selah, his majesty covers the heavens, and his praise fills the earth. So where do we see Elohim during this time? In Jordan, of course. That's where Teman is. And also Mount Paran. Teman is, of course, a son of Esau. It's the southeast of the Dead Sea, you know, near Selah. Showing the glory of Yahweh to fill all the earth at Yeshua's return, implying his presence at Mount Sinai. So we see the same we saw in the other chapters with comparing the greatness that Yahweh did at Mount Sinai with the Israelites to what he's doing in the end time. Isaiah 63 in verse 1. Isaiah 63 in verse 1. Who is this who comes from Edom with crimson garments from Basra, this one adorned in his clothing, inclining in his great power? It is I to speak in righteousness to great Yeshua. So where's he coming from? Basra. Where's Basra? Right across from Selah. You could actually see it from there. So that's where Yeshua is coming from, right? Verse 4, look what he says. For the day of vengeance is in my heart, and the year of my redeemed is come. The Jubilee. And that's why I've said it all along. Yeshua has to come before the Jubilee, because the Jubilee is the beginning of that redemption with Yeshua being on the earth. And Yahweh has given Satan 6,000 years to rule as God of his world, his system. But he will not give Satan one day of Yeshua's millennium. So we know that's going to come, and we know that's going to happen. Isaiah 11 and verse 9. Isaiah 11 and verse 9. They shall do no evil nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth will be full of the knowledge of Yahweh as the water covers the sea. So we see here, like he says, his majesty covers the heavens and his praise fills all the earth. And it's definitely messianic, and it's talking about the time when Yeshua is on this earth where there'll be no more war, where he will destroy all his enemies, and then there'll only be world peace. Deuteronomy 33 and verse 2. And he said, Yahweh came from Sinai and rose up from Seir for them. He shone forth from Mount Paran, and he came from the myriads of holy ones. At his right hand, a law of fire went forth to them. So, wow, when you're looking at this, like we said, Yahweh works in the circular. And that's why he keeps comparing what he's doing now to what he did at Mount Sinai. Because everything's coming in the circular. And there's a work that Yahweh's doing now that he hasn't done since that time. He has not done something like that since the time of Mount Sinai. So this is the greatest work that, you know, we're seeing since that time, and it's Yahweh bringing his redemption to the earth. And that's one of the reasons why I believe he opened up the door to go to Mount Sinai. And it's amazing, one of the most greatest blessings of my life to go there now 5 or 6 times and actually see the mountain. And Yahweh willing, I'm hoping next year after Sukkot, we'll be able to go back again. Starting to set that up now. So let's go now to verse 4. It says, and his brightness is as the light rays, and his hand are his, and there was a covering of his strength. Right? His brightness is as the light rays, from his hand are his, and there was a covering of his strength. So this is talking about the brightness of Yeshua at his return. Revelation 1 in verse 12. Revelation 1 and verse 12. And I turned to see the voice which spoke with me. And having turned, I saw 7 golden menorahs, and in the midst of the 7 menorahs, one like the Son of Man, wearing a garment down to his feet, and having his breast girded with a golden girdle. And the hairs of his head were white as wool, as snow, and his eyes as a flame of fire, and his feet like burnished brass, having been fired in the furnace, and his voice is the sound of many waters, and having in his right hand 7 stars and a sharp two-edged sword proceeding out of his mouth, and his face shining as the sun in all its power. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead, and he put his hand on me, saying, do not fear, I am the first and the last, and the living one. And I became dead, and behold, I am living forever and ever. Amen. And I have the keys of the grave and of death. So this is Yeshua at his return, and wow, how powerful he is, and his brightness and his glory. Matthew 17 and verse 2. It says, and this is the transfiguration. He was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothing became white as the light. So that's Yeshua in his glorified state. When he comes, he is going to be the power, you know, and a glorified spirit being. And just at his return, what it's going to do, and the enemies are going to melt up, and their eyeballs will melt in their sockets, like it talks about in Zechariah 14. I will not go there. So now let's go to verse 5. He says, a plague goes before him, and lightning went forth at his feet, like we're reading here. So this is when he's returning, right? He returns with revenge for his enemies. Matthew 24, 27 through 30. Matthew 24. 27 through 30. As the lightning comes forth from the east and shines as far as the west, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For wherever the dead body may be, there the eagles will be gathered. And immediately after the suffering of those days, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give her light, and the stars will fall from the heaven, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. And then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the heavens, and then all the tribes of the land will wail, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and much glory. Wow. So this is Yeshua's return, and this is how powerful it's going to be at that time. Verse 6 and 7. He stood and measured the earth. He looked and shook nations, and the ancient mountains were shattered. The eternal hills bowed down. The goings of eternity are his. I saw the tents of Kushan under iniquity. The curtains of the land of Midian trembled. So earthquakes and trembling at Yeshua's return. You know, Cush, Midian shows again Yahweh's presence in Mount Sinai. Right? That's where Mount Sinai is. Isaiah 2. Isaiah 2, 11 to 14. The lofty eyes of the proud man shall be humbled, and the pride of men shall be bowed down. But Yahweh, he alone will be exalted in that day. For the day of Yahweh of hosts shall be on all the proud and lofty ones, and on all that is lifted up, and it will be abased. And against all Lebanon cedars high and lifted up, and against all the oaks of Bashan, and against all the high mountains, and against all the lifted up hills. Verse 17, and the pride of man shall be humbled, and the loftiness of man will be abased, and Yahweh alone will be exalted in that day. So this is what Yahweh is saying when he returns, when Yeshua returns, right? And the earthquakes and the trembling and the mountains being moved out of their places and all this happening because of the pride of man and Yahweh's power being back on the earth. Revelation 6 and verse 12. And I saw and he opened the sixth seal, and behold, a great earthquake occurred. And the sun became black as sackcloth made of hair, and the moon became as blood. We just had a blood moon last week, right? And the stars of the heaven fell to the earth as a fig tree being shaken by a great wind casts its unripe figs. And the heaven departed like a scroll being rolled up. And the mountains and islands were moved out of their places. And the kings of the earth and the great ones and the rich ones and the commanders and the powerful ones and every slave and every free man hid themselves in the caves and in the rocks of the mountains. And they said to the mountains and to the rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of the one sitting on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. Because the great day of his wrath shall come, and who is able to stand, right? So, wow, this is going to be something like the world has never seen. And I know at times we've seen storms and lightning storms and thunder that, man, you want to just hide under that bed and never come out. But this is going to be so scary and so unbelievable because Yahweh's power is coming and his judgment on all the earth. Okay, verse 8. Says, did Yahweh burn against rivers, or was your anger against the rivers, or your fury against the sea? For you ride on horses, your chariots of Yeshua. Right? So like it says, Revelation, right? Yeshua's coming on a white horse, and he's coming, and this is referencing Yahweh's supremacy over the sea, and over, again, relating to the Red Sea crossing, and how Yahweh, you know, the horses went into the sea and the chariots and everything else. Exodus 14, starting in verse 9. And like I said, except for that time, except for the Exodus, there's never been a time in the history of man to see the things that Yahweh is doing today. Exodus 14, starting in verse 9. And the Egyptians pursued them, and this is when they were going toward the Red Sea. And they overtook them camping by the sea, the horses and the chariots of Pharaoh, and his horsemen and his army by Pi-Hahiroth before Baal-Zephon. We've been there, that's on the Egyptian side. And Pharaoh came near, and the sons of Israel raised their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians were pulling up after them, and they were greatly afraid. And the sons of Israel cried to Yahweh, and they said to Moses, "Were there no graves in Egypt that you have taken us away to die in the wilderness? What is this you have done to us to bring us out from Egypt? Is this not the word which we spoke to you in Egypt, saying, 'Go away from us and let us serve the Egyptians'? For it is good for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the wilderness." And Moses said to the people, "Do not be afraid. Take your stand and see the salvation, the Yeshua of Yahweh, which he will prepare for you today. For as you see the Egyptians today, you shall not continue to see them again forever. Yahweh will fight to overcome for you, and you be silent." And Yahweh said to Moses, "Why do you cry to me? Speak to the sons of Israel and let them pull up stakes. And you raise your staff and stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it so that the sons of Israel may go into the midst of the sea on dry ground. And behold, I am making strong the heart of the Egyptians, and they will go after them. And I will be honored through Pharaoh and through his armies, through his chariots and through his horsemen. And the Egyptians shall know that I am Yahweh in my being honored through Pharaoh, through his chariots and through his horsemen." And the messenger of Elohim withdrew, the one going before the camp of Israel, and he went behind them. And the pillar of cloud withdrew from before them and stood behind them. And it came between the camp of Egypt and the camp of Israel. And the cloud was cloudy and dark, and it lit up the night. And this one did not come near that one all the night. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and Yahweh caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all night. And he made the sea dry land, and the waters divided, right? And then Israel goes off in verse 25. "He took off the wheels of the chariots of the Egyptians and made them drive with difficulty. And the Egyptians said, 'I will flee from the face of Israel, for Yahweh is fighting for them against the Egyptians.' And Yahweh said to Moses, 'Stretch out your hand over the sea and let the waters return on the Egyptians, on their chariots and on their horsemen.' And Moses stretched out his hand on the sea, and the sea returned to its usual flow at the turning of the morning. And the Egyptians were fleeing to meet it, and Yahweh shook off the Egyptians into the middle of the sea. And the waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen together with all the army of Pharaoh, those going after them into the sea, and not one of them was left among them." Wow. And here it is. We've been there. We've seen it. Those chariot wheels are still at the bottom of the Red Sea, and the Israelites walked on dry land, and the Egyptians, Yahweh covered the sea. Verse 31, "And Israel saw the great hand in which Yahweh worked against Egypt, and the people feared Yahweh, and they believed in Yahweh and his servant Moses." So this is what we're seeing. Like I said, Yahweh goes in the circular, and we are seeing again the great hand of Yahweh, and Habakkuk is prophesying what is going to happen in these end times. Verse 9 and 10. "You bear your bow naked according to the oaths of the tribes of your word, Selah. You have cut through the earth with rivers. They saw you, mountains whirled, the storm of waters gushed, the deep gave its voice and lifted up its hands on high." So, again, prophesying here, showing Yahweh keeping his word and fighting and protecting his people, like we just saw, you know, reading there in Exodus. And let's go to Psalm 77, verse 11. Psalm 77, verse 11. "I will remember the works of Yah. Surely I will remember your wonders of old. I will also meditate on all your works and muse of your doings. O Elohim, your way is in holiness. Who is an El great like Elohim? You are the El who does wonders. You have revealed your strength among the peoples. You have redeemed your people with your arm, the sons of Jacob and Joseph, Selah. The waters saw you, O Elohim, the waters saw you. They were afraid, yea, the deeps trembled. The clouds poured out water, the skies uttered a voice, and your arrows flew out. The voice of your thunder in the tempest lightings up the world. The earth trembled and quaked. Your way is in the sea, and your path is in the great waters, and your footsteps are not known. You led your people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron." Psalm 98, 7 and 8. Psalm 98, 7 and 8. "Let the sea roar in the fullness of it, the world and all those living in it. Let the rivers clap their hands. Let the heights shout for joy together. Before Yahweh comes to judge the earth with righteousness, he shall judge the world and all the people in uprightness." So, wow. This is again showing Yahweh. It's fearful to those who are sinners, who don't want to change. But the joy, like Yom Teruah next week, you know, it's the day of clamoring. And for the people that are happy and joyful and waiting for Yahweh, they're all happy and singing and joyful. For the ones who aren't, that are getting judged, they are screaming and yelling and gnashing of teeth. So, verse 11, chapter 3, back up. It says, the sun and the moon stood still in their dwelling. At the light of your arrows they go, at the shining of your gleaming spear. So we know different scriptures in Joel and whatnot, we just read over here too, about the blood moons that are prophesied. You know, the sun being turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming great and terrible day of Yahweh. But this is something here, the sun, the moon standing still. That's something that, you know, that is a sign. And we only saw that sign once, right? That came, where was that? That came in Joshua's long day. So let's go to Joshua 10 in verse 12 through 13. Yehoshua, 10th chapter, 12 and 13. When they were fighting, right? And he says, then Yehoshua spoke to Yahweh in the day when Yahweh gave the Amorites up before the sons of Israel. And he said, sun, stand still before the eyes of Israel in Gibeon, and moon, stand still in the valley of Ashkelon. And the sun stood still and the moon stood still till the nation was avenged on its foes. Is it not written in the book of the upright? Yea, the sun stood still in the middle of the heavens and did not hasten to go down for a full day. So gave them time to fight and to win. And wow, that is a sign. Because when the moon and the sun don't go, you know, there's some people that believe that that could have done something, you know, with the moon cycle and whatever, who knows. But all we know is it happened. And that's what it's saying here. The sun and the moon stood still in their dwelling. Wow. Okay, let's go to verse 12. You go into the land in fury, you thresh nations in anger. So we see again showing Yahweh's supremacy over nature, celestial objects, you know, like we saw Joshua's long day. And just like the beating of grain, you go into the land in fury, you thresh nations in anger. So just like the beating of grain is threshed, Yahweh in the end will thresh the nations the same way. Isaiah 40 and verse 15. You know, because these nations, I mean, even for these pompous people to sit there and say, you know, God doesn't exist, and blah, blah, blah. You know, I mean, can you imagine human beings that if they're lucky, they have 60 or 70 or 80 years on this planet, and then they're gone for good, and they're going to say about Yahweh not existing? I mean, it's utterly ridiculous. And what is Yahweh's answer? Isaiah 40 and verse 15 says, lo, nations are as a drop in a bucket, and are reckoned as dust of the scales. Lo, he takes up coasts. It's a little thing. Verse 17, all nations are as nothing before him. To him they are reckoned less than nothing in emptiness. And whom will you liken, Ella? What likeness will you array to him? So Yahweh is set apart from absolutely everything. And the nations, like he says, are like a drop in the bucket to him. Jeremiah 51:33. Jeremiah 51:33. And this is with Babylon. He says, for lo, says Yahweh of hosts, the Elohim of Israel, the daughter of Babylon is like a grain floor. Like we saw in the verse, it said he's going to be threshing the nations. The daughter of Babylon is like a grain floor. It is time to trample her. Yet a little while, and the time of our harvest has come. So if there's any nation on earth today that actually thinks they're bigger than Elohim, it's America, particularly having Trump in there, that just going in there, just like the attack this week actually hit a wedding party, and they killed five people. I think it was like 68 people that were injured, and children were murdered, and they don't care. They have no regret. They have no remorse. And they'll go and kill innocent people. And that's why Yahweh says Babylon is going to be threshed like a threshing floor. And Yahweh's anger is going to get retribution for all the things that they've done. Verse 13, he says, you went forth for the salvation of your people, for Yeshua, Aleph Tav, your Messiah. Wow, this is a great scripture. You went forth for the salvation of your people, for Yeshua, Aleph Tav, your Messiah. The beginning and the last, right? You struck the head from the house of the wicked to bear the foundations to the neck. Selah. So just like we said in Egypt with Moses, Yeshua the Messiah in the end will save the remnant people of Yahweh, and he will destroy the wicked. So that's what he's coming to do. Exodus 15, 1 and 2. Exodus 15, 1 and 2. Then Moses and the sons of Israel sang this song to Yahweh and spoke, saying, I will sing to Yahweh, for he is highly exalted. He has thrown the horse and the rider into the sea. My strength and my song is Yah, and he was to me salvation, Yeshua. This is my Eli, and I will glorify him. The Eloah of my father, and I will exalt him. Yahweh is a man of war. Yahweh is his name. So this is showing here, you know, that how great Yahweh is and the wonders that he's going to do at this time. Verse 14, he says, you pierce the head of his warriors with his shafts. They rush to scatter me. Their rejoicing is to devour the humble in a secret place. So that's what they're doing. They're coming after the meek and the humble, but Yahweh is coming after piercing the head of their warriors. So just like as Pharaoh's army perished in the Red Sea, end time Babylon is also going to perish for devouring the poor and the humble people. Revelation 18, 6 through 8. Revelation 18, 6 through 8. He says, give back to her Babylon as also she gave back to you, and double to her, double according to her works. In the cup which she mixed, mixed to her double. But what things she glorified herself and luxuriated by so much, give back to her torment and mourning, because she says in her heart, I sit as a queen and I will not be a widow. I will not see sorrow. Because of this, in one day her plagues will come, death and mourning and famine, and she will be consumed with fire. For Yahweh Elohim judging her is strong. So here it is, you know, Babylon, and particularly since President Trump is in there, they want to prey on what they perceive as the weaker nations, but they want to glorify the dictators. You know, he wants to play up to China and Russia. And I didn't mention it because this just happened a couple hours ago, but Russia actually did an attack today in Ukraine, and they actually attacked two American assets. They attacked Coca-Cola, and I think it was FedEx that they hit, and they blew it up. So, you know, Trump wants to always say how good friends he is with Putin and how good friends he is with Xi, because he loves to be with the dictators, the big guys. But as these nations turn on Babylon, let's see what his thinking is then, when, you know, he's not looking at these small nations, you know, that he wants to, like Canada, because they're not militarily as strong as America, that he wants to play down how weak they are. And see where they are, because that's where it says that Yahweh is going to give back because of what they did to the other nations. Verse 15. You trod in the sea with your horses, the surging of many waters, as we talked before, again referencing to the Exodus and Yahweh's greatness in saving his people and destroying the enemy. Read Exodus again, Exodus 15. And starting in verse 4, he cast Pharaoh's chariots and his army into the sea, and the choice ones of his officers are drowned in the sea of reeds. The depths cover them. They have dropped into the depths like a stone. Your right hand, O Yahweh, is glorious in power. O Yahweh, your right hand dashes the enemy to pieces. And in your majesty's greatness, you pull down those rising up against you. You send forth your wrath. It consumes them like stubble. And by the spirit of your anger, waters were heaped up. The running waters stood like a wall. The depths congealed in the heart of the sea. The enemy said, I will pursue. I will overtake. I will divide the spoil. My soul will be filled with them. I will draw my sword. my hand shall destroy them. You blew with your wind, the sea covered them. They sank like lead in mighty waters. Who is like you among the Elohim, O Yahweh? Who is like you, glorified in holiness, fearful in praises, O worker of wonders? You stretched your right hand, the earth swallowed them. In your mercy you led the people whom you redeemed. You guided in your strength to your holy dwelling. People heard, they trembled, trembling seized the dwellers of Philistia. Then the chiefs of Edom were terrified. The leaders of Moab were seized by trembling. All the dwellers of Canaan were melted. So, wow, this is what we see. We see that Yahweh's power and might, and there's no army on earth, there's no person on earth, there's no country on earth that can stand up to the power of Yahweh. And that's the point, you know, that he is coming to protect his people, his remnant that trusts in him, but he's coming to destroy those who are destroying the earth. Verse 16. I heard and my belly trembled. My lips quivered at the sound. Rottenness entered into my bones and I trembled within myself, that I might rest for the day of distress to come up against the people, against the peoples. He cut them off. So now Habakkuk was overwhelmed and frightened at the great power of Yahweh, which I think any of us would be, over his enemies and Israel's chastisement for their sins. So he's really, it's the point where like he's seeing Yahweh's great power so much that he's literally just overwhelmed. And he's, you know, he doesn't even know what to do. Like he's saying, his belly is trembled, his lips quivered, and he's scared. Where do we see this? We see this also in the book of Daniel, Daniel 10. Daniel 10, starting at verse 7. He says, I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, for the men who were with me did not see the vision, but a great trembling fell on them so that they fled to hide themselves. Then I was left alone, and I saw this great vision. There remained no strength in me. For my glory was turned within me into corruption, I kept no strength. Yet I heard the sound of his words, and when I heard the sound of his words, then I was on my face stunned, and my face was toward the ground. And behold, a hand touched me and set me shaking on my knees and the palms of my hands. So here it is, Daniel, who saw Yeshua, you know, was scared the same way, and what he was saying. If you go back to Daniel 8 and verse 27, we see the same thing there. He says, and I, Daniel, was faint, and I was sick for days. Afterwards, I got up and did the king's business, and I was amazed at the vision, but there was no understanding. So here, where he didn't even understand the vision, he was so scared by it, he was physically sick for days because of that. Verse 17, he says, though the fig tree shall not blossom, and fruit is not on the vines, the work of the olives fails, and the fields make no food. The flock is cut off from the fold, and no herd is in the stalls. So this is what I've been talking about, that, you know, and not just me, it's in the Bible, that in the end, the four horsemen of the apocalypse, right? First you have this false peace, right? Falsity, false peace, false doctrine, you know. Then after that comes what? War, the red horse. And then after that comes the famine and the pestilence, and then of course the death that comes after that. So we are heading into this. We are all the stages being set for a great famine to be coming, and only Yahweh knows the times and the seasons, but he does tell us beforehand to prepare. And while if there was ever a time to prepare in our life for lack of food, it's now, because we really can see a lot of the handwriting that's on the wall for this. And we have a lot of brethren that need it. You know, a lot of brethren that are in areas where, you know, they don't have the finances, they don't have the backup, you know, and they need to have food stored. But I think everybody, you know, that's one of the reasons I think Yahweh gave us Shemitah years, so that it's not something that's out of the ordinary, something that's new to us, but that we see there's a time that we need to prepare. So due to Israel's rebellion and breaking of the covenant, their land is not going to be blessed. And this happened over and over. You know, that was one of the main things to Israel. If they were obedient, their land would be blessed and they'd have all kinds of food and bounty. And if not, they wouldn't. Deuteronomy 28 in verse 37. Deuteronomy 28, verse 37. He says, "And you shall be an astonishment, a proverb and a byword among all the people where Yahweh shall lead you. You shall carry much seed out to the field, and you shall gather in little." This is again for their disobedience. "The locusts will devour it. You shall plant vineyards and shall labor, and you shall not gather nor drink wine, for the worm will devour it. You shall have olive trees in your borders, and you shall not anoint with oil, for your olives shall fall off. You shall father sons and daughters, and they shall not be with you, for they shall go into captivity. The locust shall possess all your trees and the fruit of your ground. The alien in your midst shall go above you higher and higher, and you shall come down lower and lower. He will lend to you, and you shall not lend to him. He shall be the head, and you shall be the tail. And all these curses shall come on you, and shall pursue you and overtake you until you are destroyed. For you did not heed the voice of Yahweh your Elohim to keep his commandments and his statutes which he commanded you. And they shall be on you for a sign and a wonder and on your seed forever, because you did not serve Yahweh your Elohim with joyfulness and with gladness of heart for the abundance of all things." And do we, I mean, the spirit of thankfulness, do we thank Yahweh every single day of our life for what he's given us? We have been so blessed, and the world really, you know, morality has gone down the last 20, 30, 40, 50 years. But the world in general has overall been pretty good. And now we're heading into the worst time the world has ever seen. So do we thank Yahweh for that? Or do we have a spirit of appreciation? Because we see that that is going to change, particularly, you know, for, as we saw here in Habakkuk, for Israel. Joel 1 in verse 2. Prophet Joel, chapter 1, in verse 2. He says, "Hear this, you old men, and give ear, old people of the land. Has this been in your days, or even in the days of your fathers? Tell your sons about it, and your sons to their sons, and their sons to another generation. What was left by the cutter, the swarming locust ate. And that left of the swarming locust, the locust larvae ate. And that left of the locust larvae, the stripping locust ate. Awake, drunkards, and weep, and wail, all wine drinkers, over the great must, for it is cut off from your mouth. For a nation has come up on my land, strong and without number. Its teeth are like the teeth of a lion, and it has the jaw teeth of a lioness. There my vine is desolation, and it has splintered my fig tree." Right? Israel's the fig tree. "He has stripped it and thrown it down, its branches grow white. Wail like a virgin, girded with sackcloth over the husband of her youth. The food offering and the drink offering have been cut off from the house of Yahweh. The priests, the ministers of Yahweh mourn. The field is wasted, the land mourns, for the grain is wasted. The new wine is dried up, the oil tree droops. Be withered, farmers, howl, vine dressers, for the wheat and for the barley, because the harvest of the field is perished. The vine is dried up and the fig tree droops, the pomegranate, the palm tree, the apple tree. All the trees of the field are dried up, because joy has dried up from the sons of men." Right? So obedience brings blessing and prosperity. Disobedience brings famine, you know, and pestilence. And we're just in a world, you know, in the Laodicean spirit that people don't want to listen. And unfortunately, even some of the people of Yahweh, you know, they're not coming out of the world. They're not doing these changes in their life. And unfortunately, some of the brethren are going to have to go through this. So let's go back here to Habakkuk. We are almost finished. Verse 18, he says, "Yet I will exalt in Yahweh, I will rejoice in the Elohim of Yeshua." So Habakkuk is not, even though he's exhausted, he's scared, he's nervous over what he's being told is going to happen, his answer is he will exalt in Yahweh and rejoice in the Elohim of Yeshua. Because of his faith in Yahweh, Habakkuk looked past the dire judgment of his people at present and looked to the restoration and messianic rule that Yeshua promised. And here we are. That's why it's such a great book to do now, because, wow, he's prophesying of our time now, and he's even the work. I'll do a work in your day that people wouldn't believe. So what a great book, and what an example that Habakkuk gives to us, that as tough as these times are, we have to believe and we have to exalt in Yahweh. Deuteronomy 30, 1 through 10. Says, and it shall be when all these things have come on you, the blessing and the curse which I have set before you among all the nations where Yahweh Elohim shall banish you, you shall bring these things back in your heart, and shall turn back to Yahweh your Elohim and listen to his voice according to all I am commanding you today, you and your sons with all your heart and with all your soul. Then Yahweh your Elohim will turn your captivity, and he will have pity on you, and will return and gather you from all the nations where Yahweh Elohim has gathered you. If you are cast out to the end of the heavens, Yahweh your Elohim shall gather you from there, and he shall take you from there. And Yahweh your Elohim shall bring you into the land which your fathers have possessed, and you shall inherit it, and he shall do good and multiply you above your fathers. And Yahweh your Elohim shall circumcise your heart and the heart of your seed to love Yahweh your Elohim with all your heart, with all your soul, that you may live. And Yahweh your Elohim will put all these curses on your enemies and on those who hate you, who have persecuted you. And you shall return and obey the voice of Yahweh and do all his commandments which I am commanding you today. And Yahweh your Elohim will make you abundant in every work of your hand, in the fruit of your body, and in the fruit of your livestock, and in the fruit of your ground for good. For Yahweh will again rejoice over you for good, as it rejoiced over your fathers. For you shall listen to the voice of Yahweh Elohim to keep his commandments and his statutes, which are written in the book of this Torah. For you shall turn back toward Yahweh Elohim with all your heart and with all your soul. And it is one of the most evilest things in the world to say that Yahweh's Torah, that Yahweh's law, that Yahweh's word, which is his character, is done away with. And unfortunately, Christians are also going to learn the hard way. Isaiah 12 and verse 2. Because it's turning back to Yahweh, it's being obedient, it's serving him, which is the answer. He says, behold, El is Yeshua. I will trust and not be afraid, for my strength and my song is Yahweh. Yea, he has become to me Yeshua. Wow. So just like we're reading here, right? I will exalt in Yahweh, I will rejoice in the Elohim of Yeshua. We see, behold, El is Yeshua. I will trust and not be afraid, for my strength and my song is Yahweh. He has become to me Yeshua. Praise Yahweh for that. And the last verse, Yahweh Adonai is my might, and he sets my feet like hinds' feet, and he will make me to walk on my high places to the chief singer on my stringed instrument. So Habakkuk fully believes that Yahweh is guiding his steps and will fulfill his covenant promises. Let's go to Psalm 18. And then he ends it to the chief singer on my stringed instrument. Psalm 18. To the chief musician, right? The chief singer, like we just read. A psalm of David, the servant of Yahweh, who spoke the words of this song to Yahweh in the day that Yahweh delivered him from the hand of all his foes and from the hand of Saul. And he said, I love you, O Yahweh, my strength. Yahweh is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. He is my El, my rock. I seek refuge in him. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, the horn of my Yeshua, my high tower. I will call on Yahweh, who is to be praised. I shall be saved from my enemies. The cords of death hem me in. Yea, the floods of wicked men overwhelm me. Cords of Sheol surround me. The snares of death confronted me. In my distress, I called on Yahweh, and I cried to my Elohim. He heard my voice out of his sanctuary, and my cry went before him into his ears. Then the earth shook and quaked, and the foundations of mountains quaked and were shaken, because it angered him. A smoke went up out of his nostrils, and fire devoured out of his mouth. Coals were kindled from it. He bowed the heavens also and came down, and darkness was under his feet. And he rode on a cherub, and he flew. Yea, he soared on the wings of the wind. Wow, he actually rode on a cherub. He made darkness his covering, his pavilion all around him, darkness of waters, thick clouds of the skies. Out of the brightness before him, his dark clouds passed through, hailstones and coals of fire. Yahweh also thundered in the heavens, and the highest uttered his voice, hailstones and coals of fire. Yea, he sent out his arrows and scattered them, and lightnings he shot out and confronted them. Then the stream beds of waters were seen, and fountains of the earth were bared at his rebuke. O Yahweh, at the blast of the breath of your nostrils, he sent from on high, he took me, he drew me out of many waters, he delivered me from my strong enemy and from ones hating me, for they were stronger than I. They prevented me in the day of my calamity, but Yahweh was my support. And he brought me out into a broad place. He delivered me because he delighted in me. Yahweh rewarded me according to my righteousness. According to the cleanness of my hands, he has repaid me. So that's what we're looking for, right? We're trusting in Yahweh. We're looking for his saving grace to us and his reward to us for our obedience. And then go down to verse 32. It is El who girds me with strength and gives me the way to be perfect, setting my feet like the deer and making me stand on the high places, teaching my hands to war so that a bow of copper is bent by my arms. You have also given me the shield of your salvation, the shield of your Yeshua, and your right hand holds me up, and your gentleness has made me great. Right? Wow, what a great psalm here, just like Habakkuk is saying in the last verse over there. Yahweh Adonai is my might, and he sets my feet like hinds' feet, and he will make me to walk on the high places to the chief singer. Last scripture here is Psalm 70. Psalm 70. To the chief musician, just like we were reading, a psalm of David to bring to remembrance. O Elohim, deliver me. O Yahweh, hurry to help me. Let those who seek after my soul be ashamed and turn pale. Let them be turned backward in shame, those who desire my evil. Let them be turned back for a reward of their shame, those who say, aha, aha. Let all those who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. And let them say continually, let be magnified Elohim, lovers of your Yeshua. But I am poor and needy. Come quickly to me, O Elohim. You are my help and my deliverer, O Yahweh. Do not wait any longer. Wow. So what a great chapter. And we see the prayer of Habakkuk. We see that his trust in Yahweh. We see that Yahweh comes and he does avenge the humble. And he does take revenge on the proud. And what a great little three chapters here. In this book, I pray that you enjoyed this study. And next week we have the Holy Day, so we will see what we'll go into for the Holy Day, and then we will be getting started in something else with the Bible study. So, Shabbat Shalom. I pray that everybody has a blessed Shabbat. And until next week, Yahweh bless.